down to the lesson time now. I want to start in Acts 14, and I want us to see something in verse 4, but I can't pass up verse 2. Starting in verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium. Yeah, I'm unmuted. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Now here in verses 1 and 2, you've got four different types of people in these two verses. You've got the synagogue of the Jews, and then you've got the Greeks, the Gentiles that feared God and came to, you know, bless Israel in the synagogue. And then that's in verse 1. In verse 2, you've got unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. First of all, in verse 1, it says that the Jews believed. Some of them, a great multitude of the Jews believed, and the Greeks believed. But in verse 2, you've got unbelieving Jews stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So those are evil affected, unbelieving Gentiles too. So you can see the four categories there. Sometimes it says, it talks about the Gentiles. Well, you always have to ask and look in the context, what Gentiles is he talking about? Talking about believing Gentiles, unbelieving Gentiles, Gentiles that believed the covenants and tried to come to God, or could come to God, by blessing Israel, according to Genesis 12:3. You really have to, you know, discover what each time the word Greek or Jew is used, or Gentile, what it's talking about. It's not necessarily talking about you or me. So, for continuity, verse 3 says, long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So that was a time of introducing or dispensing the gospel, this new gospel that saved sinner Paul, that he was unsavable in Israel's law, Israel's covenants. He had blasphemed the Holy Ghost. He had spoken out against the Holy Ghost in the mouth of Stephen, the words coming out of the mouth of Stephen, and yet God saved him on the road to Damascus a different way. And in 1 Timothy 1:16, he says it was in him first that this new pattern, and he uses the word pattern, was introduced. So this was during a time of introducing that new gospel, or dispensing. It's called a dispensation of the gospel. And the next verse there in 1 Corinthians 9:17 and 18, the next verse says that the gospel was the gospel of Christ, which is the same saving message that we have today, but today it's called by its later name, which was started in Acts 20, the gospel of the grace of God. So, going on to the fourth verse now, the part that we want to see for the lesson today. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. So there you've got more division, and you've got them taking sides. Some were on the apostles' side, believing what the apostles taught. The apostles being Paul and Barnabas in that case. In fact, that's one way we know Barnabas was an apostle of some sort, not necessarily the same caliber or same sending as Paul, but he's mentioned here as plural apostles, Paul and Barnabas. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6:15. What concord hath, or togetherness, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So they're separate. There's a division that needs to be made. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the form of sound words. So what are we supposed to hold on to? Which part? Part held with the Jews, part with the apostles. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Which part should we hold on to? Sound words. The believing part. Hold on to Paul's words. Paul's words for us, are for us today. The 12 were sent not to go unto the way of the Gentiles, but to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. That's not the right wording, and I got to get it right before I go on. Let's see, that's Matthew 10, 5 or 6, 5, 6. Rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There we go. Okay. Pardon me. So, I'm going to go through some verses when we want to listen to these remaining verses and their common emphasis. And now, one of the words that we saw yesterday and we see here in Acts 17, verse 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. That's another form or another word used for that meeting that the believers started meeting with Paul or with those that Paul would, you know, Paul's fellow workers, like Silas is mentioned here. Merriam's dictionary defines consort as a transitive verb to unite or to associate, to consort. So the verse goes, this Acts 17:4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. In other words, many. Down further in the chapter, that would have been at Thessalonica. Now we get down further, and he was sent to Berea, and from there to Athens. And in verse 16 it says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Next verse 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. There you've got a meeting with Paul. You see it over and over in Scripture. Those that believed met together and received instruction, received doctrine. Acts 18, next chapter, this would be Corinth. And he departed thence, this is verse 7, he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God and whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Joined hard, well, you know, we have duplexes today. Same building, but different half of the house, half of the building. But there's a absolute proximity there. I mean, they were on top of each other almost. Acts... What do we see there? At the beginning of the verse, Acts 18, verse 7, and he departed thence. So he gathered those that would meet with him separate from the synagogue. There was the meeting of Paul with Jews and with Gentiles called Greeks. At that time, it wasn't people like us in the Gentiles that are mentioned. Paul wasn't yet sent. Philippians 4:15 says the beginning of the gospel, talking about our gospel that we're saved by, the beginning of that gospel was in when Paul departed from Macedonia, and he departed from Macedonia in Acts 20, verse 6. So it wasn't until then that we started being preached the gospel of the grace of God. And now that's a Body of Christ event. That's not an Israel event in Acts 20. But let's look at Acts 19, verse 9, and see what else we see about departings. When divers were hardened and believed not, so you can identify these are disbelievers, whether Jew or Gentile, they believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them. And separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So there's more about the meetings that Paul had with the believers after preaching to them in the synagogue the gospel of God. We saw that yesterday. But when divers were hardened, so separated is what we're looking at then in this verse. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Be ye separate, the Bible said. Remember in Isaiah 52:11, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Another place he says, be ye clean, pure, for be ye holy, for I am holy. I think, 1 Peter 1:16. These people had just come out of the synagogue, had left the synagogue. So they were quite familiar with the writings of the Old Testament writings, to be pure. And I can't... I'm stalling here trying to think where that is in the Old Testament, but it's a quote in 1 Peter 1:16, I think it is, a quote from the Old Testament. So, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14, 15, and 16, about separating out, being separate again, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship... You can see this didn't say anything about marriage, but it would include marriage. But it would include business dealings. It would include close friendships. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, I was going to mention something there, but this shows that not only in Thessalonica had they idols right in the synagogue, but apparently right here in Corinth they did too, not down the street, but in their synagogues apparently. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Well, I might hurt their feelings. The truth is more important, according to these verses, keeping to the truth. Let's see, verse 18. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, and saith the Lord Almighty. Next verse, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that's a small s there on spirit. In other words, your attitude, your inner man. And not talking about the Holy Spirit. Cleanse ourselves all filthiness of flesh and spirit. That's within us. The flesh is our body, and the spirit would be our inner man. But not referring to the seal of the Holy Spirit. If 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 7:1 that we just read was written in a dispensation of the gospel, dispensing the gospel, then sometimes Paul would use scripture that applies only to the Jews and the Greeks. On the other hand, if 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 7:1 was written in the dispensation of the grace of God, in other words, we mentioned before, it was Acts 20, verse 6 when that started, then Paul would not be using scripture, any scriptures that apply only to the Jews and the Greeks. Well, it turns out, in 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 7:1, Paul does use scripture that applies, it only applies to the Jews and the Greeks. In those sentences, those parts of the scripture. Now, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, which one am I missing? There's six of them. Galatians, Romans, yeah. They're scripture. They are to us, too. The post-Acts epistles have everything about the body of Christ and tell us about the body of Christ. The Acts period epistles of Paul have information in them that is about us only, but it also has information in there about ordinances, about head coverings, eating meat offered to all those things that only had to do with Jews and Greeks coming out of the synagogues. And probably with relatives that were Jews and making a stand, introducing the gospel, dispensing the gospel of Christ. So that's why we make that distinction there. That fits the first of the two conditions mentioned above. Those scriptures of 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 7:1 were written in a dispensation of the gospel, dispensing it, making it known among people that had never heard it before. It's not the same as the ongoing gospel. I shouldn't say it's not the same. It's a different name because it's a different audience. It's a wider audience the gospel of the grace of God is preached to. That would be everybody in the world. Let's talk about the synagogues that Paul preached the gospel of God in. They were apostate to start with, and we can see that from John 9:22 specifically. I've got four verses marked if there's any question about it. John 9:22, John 9:34, John 12:42, and John 16:2. You can look those up, but we'll just read John 9:22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already, that if any man did confess that he, meaning Jesus, was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. In other words, excommunicated. And, that was their life there. So, when Paul preached in the synagogues that Jesus is the risen Christ, the risen Messiah, the believers in that gospel of God had to leave the synagogue and meet in Paul's meeting. At first, that's where they would meet, and that included synagogue Jews and synagogue Greeks that had come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the risen Christ, resurrected. Together, that made them the church of God, and that's why 1 Corinthians is addressed to the church of God. Just as much as the scattered little flock was that Saul of Tarsus did persecute. So that's why they're called the Church of God, even though we think of them later and value the writings to the body of Christ, and we think of them as the body of Christ. The body of Christ in that local assembly hadn't gotten members yet until they heard the gospel of Christ. They heard the gospel of God, separated from the evil synagogues, apostate synagogues, but they still only heard and believed the gospel of God. Those gospel of God believers began meeting with Paul, and Paul could begin preaching the gospel of Christ to them. Those who had become Church of God people, but that now believed the gospel of Christ, became part of a remnant according to the election or choice of grace. A remnant from Israel into the body of Christ in a dispensation of the gospel. That new gospel that was being preached to the Jews and the Greeks. Though that remnant, Paul mentions in Romans 11 verses 5 and 6. Romans 11 verses 5 and 6. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. This present time is not as I read this. This present time is as Paul wrote this back in Romans, just before, well, it would be in Acts 20, verse 3. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. So they were being saved by grace, not by works, back then in a dispensation of the gospel. But if it be of works, then it's no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, some of them had to work still. Some of them heard the gospel of God, came out of the synagogue and heard the gospel of Christ, and were still believing in what they had heard before, probably before the fall of Israel, about, you know, maybe from their families or in the synagogue, about a covenant they were under, and that all their males had to be circumcised, and all these things that were Israel. Well, they were unbelieving Israel until they heard the gospel of God that Paul was the one that preached it. If somebody else would have preached it and they believed it, they would have been what the Bible calls converted Jews, from apostate Jews to believing Jews, little flock-type Jews. So those who had become Church of God people, in other words, they heard the gospel of God in the synagogue, believed it, and came out, they would be Church of God people. But those that had become Church of God people but continued to believe Israel's future kingdom gospel became part of the scattered little flock prophetic remnant in Israel, Israel's program. They had believed Judaism, but it was apostate Judaism because they had Israel had as a whole, as a nation, the leadership and majority had rejected Jesus Christ and put him on the cross. And that was where they sinned. They did not have faith in who Jesus was. At Romans 9, Romans 10 verse 8, if nothing else, when you include the context. Okay, so that part of believing believers that heard the gospel of God and then believed, they are mentioned as a different remnant. It's a prophetic remnant in Israel's program. Romans 11 verse 7. What then, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election, those that chose it, in other words, the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The apostate Israel was being blinded. This is Romans 11, verse 7, and you find out in Romans 11, I mean, you can't say everything at the same time. He put it later in the same chapter. Verse 25, that Israel was blinded in part. So they were, and you have to be careful, it doesn't say Israel was partly blinded. Not all of Israel was blinded, just Israel in part. Part of Israel was blinded, not the remnant though, not the election that chose to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And this prophetic remnant had been called, you find that in 1 Corinthians 7:18. They had been called into circumcision. They just hadn't heard that Jesus was the Messiah, or that he had raised from the dead. When they heard it, they believed it, and they were part of that little flock, that little flock type of believer. I mean, they may not have ever met some of the apostles that were in the little flock, but that's who. Let's read the verses that talk about that prophetic remnant again. Romans 11, verses 7 and 8. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. Eyes that should not see, and ears that should not hear, unto this day. And the Lord's going to turn that around in Zechariah 12, verse 10. When he returns after the body of Christ is caught up and the 7 years of Jacob's trouble, when it comes near an end, the Lord Jesus Christ will pour out on them, on Israel, a spirit of grace and of supplication, and they will see him coming down and believe him. Those people in that situation were in a dispensation of the gospel and were that prophesied work of Habakkuk 1:5. I will work a work among you which you will in no wise believe. And we'll study that later. But right now, look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7 about the calling that each person received back then. In that time, there were two callings. Some were being called. Well, let's read it. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. verse 18, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Stay in your calling, in other words. Stay in believing Israel. The verse goes on, is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. In other words, don't try to be a Jew. Don't try to be a messianic Jew or a spiritual Jew or some other kind of Jew. The Bible doesn't chop them up, do that. Verse 19, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. And remember, they were past that. They're under grace, not under the law. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. You can see he's talking about two different callings at that time. Now there's only one calling. God calls those he foreknows are going to believe. He calls them into the body of Christ by the gospel of the grace of God. That Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again, and appeared. So when you realize that he died for your sins, and you place your trust in him to have died for all your sins to save you, and that you are saved. It's those that don't believe that he couldn't have died for all my sins. I haven't done them yet. You know, if they believe that way, they're not trusting that Christ's blood dying on the cross was sufficient to save them. It was, though. That's what the gospel is. Believe that Christ died for all your sins. They're all died for already. They're not on you anymore once you believe. Although, excuse me just a minute. Let me. Those provisions were for some of the people in the body of Christ. They were people in the body that were addressed as in the work, quote, the work. And we talked about that in Habakkuk 1, verse 5. And also, I think it's Romans 9, 28. It's Acts 13, 2, Acts 13, 41. All verifying that the Lord was going to work a work in them. And it was a prophetic work. It wasn't the mystery that he's talking about. We're in the body of Christ today, and we're in beyond that. I mean, In addition to that, no, that's not the right way to say it. We're in the body of Christ in the dispensation of the grace of God. People before, in the times in Acts there that we're reading about, they were in the body of Christ once they believed the gospel of Christ. They were in the body of Christ, but in a dispensation of the gospel, in a different dispensing. So, we're in the body of Christ today. We're not in the work that was prophesied, nor are we in that dispensation of the gospel, which only existed at most from Acts 9 through Acts 28. Because of that, after that, it was already introduced, and it was just the working gospel that God was operating by. But because of that, both, if you remember, we read about Paul and Barnabas performing signs. Signs were for the Jews. The Jew requires a sign. Those opportunities, those signs, the ordinances that you read about in Acts and the Acts epistles, those accommodations, they do not apply to us. We don't have to go through and explain everyone and why that wouldn't work today and things. It's just in a different dispensation within the same body of Christ. So we're down to some of these other phrases. Actually, the last one, I think, that we've got singled out, clave. Acts 11:23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Same verb, different form of it. Cleave unto the Lord. Acts 17:34, howbeit certain men clave unto him, there it is again, clave, and believed, among which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So, and we mentioned a work before. Let's look at Habakkuk 1:5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. Before we finish that verse, Habakkuk, he prophesies to Israel, and he says, ye. Now, we today are not in Habakkuk's prophecy. Habakkuk 1:5 is about Israel while out there among the heathen, exiled or scattered. The heathen Roman government was ruling Israel at the time of Jesus. They would put up puppet kings, but it was under Rome's rule. Israel was among the heathen at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, as well as many Israelites still scattered from previous exiles. And then from the scattering, from the persecution by Saul of Tarsus, too. So, Hosea 1:5, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And then down in Romans 9:27-28, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Shall be. When it's talking about shall be, it's almost always talking about Israel, not us. We are saved. So this is about Israel. In fact, the verse says, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. Verse 28, for he will finish the work, there it is again, and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. The prophesied work was, that was the first part of Paul's and Barnabas' calling. Working with the Jew first was a short work. It was prophesied that there would be a work, but it was not prophesied what that work would be. Look at Acts, we get a little more insight into it, in Acts 13, the first four verses. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. and Saul. Verse 2, here's an important use of the term here. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate," we talked about being separate, "separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So they were involved with the work. Verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands upon them," they being that group of prophets and teachers it's talked about in verse 1, "and they," it says, "they sent them away." And I distinguish that because when they sent them away, that work, that part of the calling ended in, I'm trying to remember, I think it was Acts 15:26. I think that's what it is, Acts 15:26. But you go on to verse 4 here, Acts 13:4. "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." Who sent them in verse 4? The Holy Ghost sent them in verse 4. That sending continued past Acts 15:26 until they were sent a second time to all men with the gospel of the grace of God in Acts 20, verse 6. So let me just see. We want to be accurate here. I think it's Acts 15:26. No, that's not it. Let me check 14:26. That's it. Okay, here it is. 14:26. "And thence they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." They fulfilled that Hosea 1:5 work. And that was from the sending that the teachers, prophets and teachers gave them in verse 3. Verse 4, the sending the Holy Ghost gave them continued until they got their second sending to all men. So the prophesied work was from Acts 13:1 through, depending on how you take it, either Acts 14:26 or Acts 20 verse 5, which sending from the prophets and teachers or from the Holy Ghost. But during that period, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 16 through 18, Paul was called, he called that period a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, when you include both 17 and 18 verses. And that was from about 44 A.D. to about 56 A.D. That's 12 years. 12 years for the Lord to accomplish a short work through Paul, from about 56 to today, 2021, it's about, what, 1965, I think? Compare 12 short work years to 1965 years so far. That was a short work that the Lord did among Israel. And, of course, we know through the centuries he was merciful over and over and over and over with a straying nation. And, you know, this grace was on top of all that, or mercy, I should say. So, let's look further in Romans 9, starting in verse 28. "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah." What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, hath attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? That's the key point there, the faith. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, risen from the dead. The rest of the Jews, the majority in the leadership, would not believe it. And these are the Gentiles that heard it and believed it. And in a dispensation of the gospel, the Gentiles that heard it and believed it were the Greeks. They heard it. Paul came and preached it, the gospel of God, in the synagogues. That's how they heard it. Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Verse 13, and this is Acts 13:13. "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Regarding that, in Acts 15:38, Paul thought it not good to take him with them who departed from them in from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. This is not just a coincidence of words here. This is the term God uses for the work, for that a dispensation of the gospel. I shouldn't say that. They're simultaneous. They're at the same time, but the dispensation of the gospel is on the body of Christ side of it. A work is what God calls that diminishing period that is on Israel's side. So, going on, a couple more verses here, and we'll be closing. Acts 13:41, "Behold, you despisers." This is in Acts. It's almost a straight quote from Habakkuk 1:5. "Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Romans 9:28, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness." Giving individual Jews an extra 12 years to believe that Jesus is the risen Messiah, the risen Christ, that was going above and beyond what was necessary after Israel fell, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. All right, we'll stop there and start again with part 5 next time, probably next Thursday. Any comments or questions, please bring them up. We can continue to talk about it.